Open your Bibles, if you would, please, with me back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, it's been about a month and a half since we've been in John with the holidays, etc., etc. So I want to finish this context. I really wanted to finish this context before we broke for the holidays, but it just did not work out that way. There weren't enough Sundays, and so John chapter 3, I'm going to take the time to read the entire conversation with Nicodemus this morning, even though our text is really just the last few words. But so that we can get context, because remember, at the end of the day, everything is context. Context, context, context. When you're interpreting the Bible, the one thing above all else that is your guide is the context. And that's what's going to help us understand verses 19 to 21. The title of the message this morning is, Are You Drawn to the Darkness or to the Light? That's verses 19 to 21, but I want to read the whole context. Beginning in chapter 3, verse 1, Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Now may the Holy Spirit add his blessing to the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. Amen. As we come to verses 19 through 21, remember, as we've just read in the context, that Jesus is in conversation with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He came to Jesus, as it says in verse 2, by night. He came after dark to try to understand Jesus' teachings more clearly. And what I want you to understand is that when Jesus in this passage speaks of you, most often in the Greek it is plural. In other words, he's speaking to Nicodemus as a representative of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day. When he says, you do not receive our testimony, he's not talking specifically to Nicodemus. He's talking to Nicodemus as representative of all the religious leaders. When Jesus summarized all that he was seeking to accomplish on earth, Nicodemus is saying, hey, look, what is this all about? Help us understand. Jesus summarizes it back up in verse 7, if you'll notice, you must be born again. Jesus is talking about regeneration. Now, I love babies as much as the next guy. I mean, nobody's going to question that who knows me, right? My wife has often said that Jonathan stays in the ministry so that he can be the first one to see babies. Yeah, okay, I'm guilty. I'll say it. I love that. I love being around babies. But loved ones, when we are born into this world, we are born blood guilty. We are born blood guilty. We are sinners by very birthright. Adam's ruined blood flows through each of our veins. The old Puritans used to say it this way: we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. We love to talk about those little babies as being in innocence, but at the end of the day, Adam's ruined blood flows through their veins and they are not innocent. They are blood guilty before God. David said it this way in Psalm 139. He said, in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, from the very moment I was conceived, I was a sinner. Thus, what Jesus is saying is that we have all been born wrong the first time, and thus we must be born again. We could say it this way: generation damns us, regeneration redeems us. And so at the end of this context, as Jesus has been talking with Nicodemus, he's going to draw the conversation this morning to an illustrative application. He's going to draw up one more word picture, if you will. Now, it's not the first one he's used. Did you notice them? I mean, in this context, he's already talked about generation versus regeneration. He's already talked about water versus spirit. He's already talked about unbelief versus belief. Now he's going to draw up judgment versus pardon. Now he's going to draw up darkness versus light. And I want you to understand something this morning that is so, so important. Please hear me. At the very heart of this text is the truth that what you do reveals who you are. Let me say that again. At the very heart of this text, verses 19 to 21, Jesus reveals the truth that what you do is the clearest reflection of who you are. He's going to reveal that in two very clear statements. You see them in your on your note sheet there. First of all, he's going to tell us that darkness reveals condemnation to those who reject Christ. And then at the end of the text, he's going to tell us that light reveals salvation for those who receive Christ. First of all, this morning, he's going to tell us that darkness reveals condemnation for those who reject Christ. Look at verses 19 and 20 with me, would you? Jesus says, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light." Why? "Lest his works should be exposed." Now, understand this. This is not the first time in the Gospel of John we've encountered the contrast between light and darkness, is it? You'll remember back up in chapter 1, verse 5, John said that when the light, or the Word, which is Jesus, shined in the darkness did not comprehend, or more accurately, did not overpower it. And that makes sense, right? You can't walk into a light room and turn on the darkness, right? But you can walk into a dark room and turn on the light. And do you know that the darkness cannot understand it? It cannot overpower it. It cannot comprehend it. You take the smallest light in the darkest room, and you know what it'll do? It will find every nook and cranny, every crevice, every corner, because the darkness cannot overpower, cannot understand, cannot comprehend the light. Later on in that same context, in that beautiful, beautiful prologue, I kind of want to just go back and preach that all again. It's so good. Verses 10 through 11, he wrote of the world's, that is the darkness's, outright rejection of the light. Notice, he says he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. So that's what Jesus is speaking of when he says the light has come into the world. What is the light? Wrong question. Who is the light? Now we're going to get to the right answer. You never get to the right answer by asking the wrong questions, right? It's not what is the light, it's who is the light. And the light is Jesus. In fact, over in chapter 8, Jesus is going to say, "I am the light of the world." Now note this very carefully. Note very poignantly that Jesus does not label their deeds evil because they love darkness. Notice what he says. People loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Notice he does not say that their deeds are evil because they love the darkness. Rather, he says that they love the darkness because the darkness is their very nature. Again, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are inherently, by nature, sinners. So that helps us know who Jesus is talking about. He's saying that the evil deeds they do are the outward expression of what? The unbelief in their hearts. So we're right back to the same illustrations Jesus has been using from the beginning of this context, right? He's talked about generation and regeneration. He's talked about those who are born of Adam and those who are born of Christ. He's talked about water and spirit, those who are just humanly born and those who are spiritually born. He's talked about unbelief and belief. He's talked about those who have placed their weight on the Word of God and those who have not placed their weight and will not place their weight on the Word of God because they do not trust God and His Word. Now he brings up that same illustration, but he uses a different word picture, and that is light and darkness. So that's why the lovers of darkness hate the light, right? They do not come to the light, Jesus says, because they will be exposed. He is the light who exposes whether a person is righteous or not. And so the world not only hates that exposure, but they also hate the one who is the light himself. In fact, I believe that if we take the pulse of the Word of God, if we take the tenor of the Word of God, that we will find out again and again and again that those who are of the kingdom of darkness only have the capacity to love their sin. And so then they only have the capacity to hate that which exposes the heinousness of their sin, right? Now, I'd like to take a moment this morning and show you something in this context that I hope you'll never forget. Because there is a very intentional contrast that John wants you to see in the words of Jesus here. Please note this, and if you're one of those people, I can't even hardly say it, who write in your Bible, who write in your Bible, don't do it, but do it if you do it, draw a line from verse 16 down to verse 19. But please do this, if you've already scarred the page of your Bible, you know, make sure that you understand that that line is a line of contrast. Note what he says in verse 16. God loved the world. But notice what he says in verse 19. The world hated Christ. It's a very intentional contrast that John wants you to see in the words of Jesus. God loved the world, but the world hated Jesus. Now, can I take that one step further? Paul says over in Ephesians that since they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you too. Remember what he said? He said, I fill up in my body the sufferings of Christ. What do you mean by that, Paul? What he means is they can't get to Jesus anymore. They crucified him. He rose. He went back to the Father. They can't get to Jesus anymore, but you wear his name. And because you wear his name, guess what? They hate you and they'll persecute you. But I think we should take a lesson from Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. Remember, after they'd been beaten with rods, they went out. And what does the end of Acts chapter 4 tell us about them? They rejoiced that they had been counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Beloved, when the world hates you, remember this. Don't take it so personally. So many Christians take it personally. Oh, they've rejected me. No, they haven't. They've rejected Christ. They're going to. Why? Because Christ is light and they are darkness and they don't want to come to the light. Why? Jesus says very clearly, because they'll be exposed. They're going to run from the light. The darkness is going to run from the light. And listen, you are the torchbearer. You are the light bearer, so listen, they're going to hate you. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ because they can't get to him anymore. They can't crucify him again. If they could, they would, but they can't. So they persecute you. But as the old hymn says, we've a story to tell to the nations, don't we? What is that story? It's verse 16. You know, you can hate Christ all you want to, but God has set his love on this world. God, who is light, has set his love on that which is darkness. And so we have a gospel to proclaim, right? One of the reasons that darkness is darkness is because there's nothing good about it, right? Well, enter you and me. We have euangelion. Yeah, the Bible translates that word gospel, but it really means a heralding, a proclamation of good news. Loved ones, we have good news. And how dare we say we love this world when we love those who are still chained, according to Psalm 107, who are still in shackles, who are tossed on a sea. How dare we say we love them when we have good news, but we say, no. I mean, you know, hey, they may not like me anymore. You're absolutely kidding me, right? You're willing to keep the gospel of good news from those who are in darkness and who could spend eternity in darkness, separated from God, so that they'll like you? No. We've a story to tell to the nations, a story of light and glory. Why do they hate this? Why this contrast? God loves the world, verse 16, but the world hates Christ, verse 19. Why? The answer's at the end of verse 20, isn't it? Verse 20 ends with the word exposed, elenko. What do we mean by that? The word is a legal term that has to do with conviction of wrongdoing. If you have a King James in your lap, you see the word reproved there. In other words, if one who hates Christ is going to become one who loves Christ, God must reveal His heart. God must expose His heart. Loved ones, the old preachers used to use a word for that, and I think we would do well to recapture that word. I'm so tired of people who want the church to always be new. I think we need to be old. Like 2,000 years old. We need to look more like that church. You know what the word is? Conviction. The Bible illustrates that for us in a way that true preachers really love. And I'm going to share it with you. Remember in the Pentecost sermon of Peter in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that when Peter preached, listen now, they were cut to the heart. That's what we desire when we preach and proclaim the gospel. We proclaim the gospel of good news. But you see, the good news isn't good news until we know how bad the bad news is. And the bad news is we can't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We are in darkness. And we don't come to the light. There's no such thing as the self-made Christian. No such thing as the American dream Christian. No, you can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You cannot lift one finger to save yourself. You are helpless and hopeless. You are in the kingdom of darkness, and you are a willing subject of that kingdom. It takes God convicting our hearts, changing our hearts, revealing our hearts, the darkness that is in them, for Him to wash it and to bring it into the kingdom of light. He must be exposed as a sinful, prideful, self-righteous man before he can be presented as a redeemed man. Which brings us to the second statement and the last statement Jesus makes at the close of this interview. Not only does darkness reveal condemnation for those who reject Christ, but secondly this morning, light reveals salvation for those who receive Christ. Look at verse 21. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that, purpose statement, it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. There's a context for the word light in John's gospel. Drop your eyes back to chapter 1 and verse 4. We're back to this great prologue. He's talking about the Word here, and we took considerable length a few months ago explaining how the Word in John chapter 1 can only be Jesus. Those sermons are up on the website if you want to go listen to them. But the Word here can only be Jesus. It can't be anyone else. And he says in verse 4, in Him, in the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. Now listen to this. In the Gospel of John, life and light go together. They're a hand and a glove. Now what I want you to understand is this. You've got to know it by now. What's the purpose statement of John? Many other things did Jesus in the sight of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that believing you may have, listen, life in His name. Now listen, whenever John, in the Gospel of John, speaks of life, it is always, 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 always in the context of eternal life. Life in the Gospel of John is always about eternal life. So what does the light come to reveal? The light, Jesus, came to reveal life, eternal life. Well, what in the world does all that mean? Well, I have to turn you to my favorite passage in all the Bible. The Upper Room Discourse, John chapters 13 to 17. You'll remember there in John chapter 14, forgive my King James speak, it's how I learned it. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. Now remember, one of the disciples, Philip, says, where are you going? Well, you know where I'm going and you know the way. How can I know the way, Jesus, when I don't even know where you're going? Listen to what Jesus says. Don't miss it in its context. I am the way and the truth. And what's the third one? The life. How in the world do we get to eternal life? It's real simple. Finish the verse, right? No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus came as the light to reveal, to shine on eternal life, to reveal eternal life to us. The light of Jesus Christ has been revealed to be the giver of eternal life. And so this morning, we simply ask you a question. Which are you drawn to? You drawn to the darkness? I mean, look, Peppers, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, I just, look. There's just that I enjoy. People have said that to you, right? Yeah. In fact, you know how it's most often said? Listen now. You know, here's the thing, Jonathan. I actually really do believe what you're saying. I believe it. But look, man, I want to live my life, man. I want to have a little fun, for goodness sake. You Christians, you're a bunch of stodgy people who pray, fold your hands, you know. You're a bunch of stodgy people. Well, you don't know us very well, do you? I mean, look at us. We eat, man. You know, I just want to live my life. And then when I come down to the end of my life, I'm gonna come to you and I'm gonna become a Christian. You know what they're saying? They're saying, I don't want to come to the light because I enjoy the darkness. That's what they're saying. But Jesus came, loved ones, not so that you could live a wild and crazy life. Jesus came so that you could have eternal life. Now, does that necessarily mean that because we're going to have heaven for all of eternity, we have to be miserable here in this life? No. It's not what this book teaches anyway. But you know what it does teach? It teaches that we find our joy elsewhere, not in sin. Sin is fun, y'all. Can we agree on that? I mean, the Bible very clearly talks about the fleeting pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is fun. But you know where it leaves you? One step closer to the darkness. One step closer to the darkness. Jesus came to reveal, as the light of God, to reveal the darkness in our hearts, to expose it. Why? So that it may be illuminated, so that it may have the joy of the light of Jesus Christ. So I ask you this morning, which are you drawn to? Are you drawn to the darkness? If so, please, please, I beg you. I am not too proud to beg. I beg you, don't leave this place today till you come talk to us. Because every step in the darkness is more damning. Or are you drawn to the light? Now, in the couple of minutes that I have remaining, I want to say this about drawn to the light. Loved ones, you see, the reason I want to say what I said about we find pleasure elsewhere, not in sin, but in righteousness, is I want to go back to the beginning of the message. Do you remember what I said? This text just oozes. What you do reveals who you are. You see, if all we do is chase after sin, if all we do is chase after pleasure, if all we do is chase after hedonism, yeah, you're going to find it. Absolutely. I'm going to stand here and tell you the truth. You're going to find it. It's going to be last about that long. And then you'll have to find some more. And it'll last about that long. And then you'll have to find some more. And you know what? Eventually your life will just become futile. Just a pointless chasing after pleasure that cannot last. That can pacify but can never satisfy. But Jesus came to expose our hearts and reveal to us the glory of that which is righteous. And then we live, listen, not for our pleasure, but for God's pleasure. And in that is eternal joy. Joy in this life and joy in the life to come. So I ask you this morning, are you drawn to the light or are you drawn to the darkness? If this morning you find your heart in darkness, I beg you, please don't leave this place today. Just because you came to this church this morning not knowing God doesn't mean you have to leave here the same way. We would love nothing more than to take a Bible and show you how you can be what Paul calls transferred. Transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His glorious light. Please don't leave here this morning without being in the light. Let's pray. Lord, use your word. Simple. I find this conversation with Nicodemus so compelling. at one level, Lord, because it's just so simple. It's just a man talking with a man. It's just that one of those men is the God-man. And he knows how to communicate the deepest truths to our fallen hearts. Father, if there is one here this morning who is still a part of the kingdom of darkness, they recoil at the light. They're just repulsed by the light because they don't want to be exposed. Lord, that tells me that deep down in their hearts, they know that their deeds are evil. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, draw them to the light of Jesus Christ today. May they slough off self-righteousness and let us show them how they can be clothed in the righteousness of Christ today. May they slough off the darkness and let us show them how they can be a member of the kingdom of light. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.